If you've got your Bible with you, I would like you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The reading was from verse 26 to 37. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Some weeks back, we did start a series. It was supposed to be a mini series, but it's gone on a little bit, but it's good that it has. We say it's exercising spiritual authority. Exercising spiritual authority. And today we want to continue that, hopefully bring it to an end. And I would say that we want to talk about changing the situation and atmosphere facing you. Changing the situation and atmosphere facing you. Time and time again, we face situations, we face certain things that sometimes cloud our atmosphere. You wake up one morning, you go to work, and the news is not good. You wake up one morning and you hear something which is not great. You wake up morning with a burden on your heart. The whole atmosphere around you is heavy. Now, today we want to learn how to change this atmosphere that persists and sometimes threatens us, sometimes paralyzes us. So, changing the situation and atmosphere facing you. And one of the ways that we are able to do that is to exercise spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is delegated legal right, permission and mandate Jesus Christ has given us to change, to shift atmosphere and situations in our favor. So Jesus Christ has given you the legal right and the mandate and the power that you'll be able to change situations and atmosphere facing you in your favor. Because the Bible said that we are more than conquerors, right? Through Christ who loves us. So if this is the case, then you cannot look at a situation to face you, to change your mood, to paralyze you, and to cripple you in life. You got to do something about it. You got to say, no, you know what? I am not having this because I have that spiritual authority to be able to change the situation in my favor. And that is what David did. The people of Israel were facing a battle with the Philistines. Some weeks back, we talked about that. You can always go to our website and listen to the messages. They were facing the Philistines, and the Philistines were powerful people who were oppressing them. And yet God has given them a land which is flowing with milk and honey, a land of fruitfulness. God has blessed them indeed. But there was a problem, and the problem was that the Philistines occupied the land. And these people would not allow the people of Israel to enjoy the goodness of God. And the people of Israel had to do something about it. And as the story went from First Samuel chapter 17, right from the beginning, you saw the people of Israel went to battle, but they never fought a battle. They arrayed themselves for battle, but they never did anything. You see, Christianity, that is our faith, is not complicated at all, but not simplistic either. Are you hearing that? Our faith is not complicated, but it's not also as simple sometimes as you see it. Certain things God has said about us and Christ has already accomplished it for us on the cross, giving. However, to realize with confident assurance of the things we hope for, one needs to take some actions to appropriate it into our lives. Did you get that? Christ has won some victories for us. But for us to walk in that victory, we've got to do something about it. so that the victory that he has won for us, we can consolidate it in our lives. Otherwise, you have a whole head full of knowledge about Christ has done on the cross for you, but then there is nothing happening for you. The people of Israel had a head full of knowledge that God said, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, a land which is fruitfulness, a land that they saw the fruit of it, the pomegranates and all the fruit and the grapes and everything were massive. They saw that. But they were not eating it, were they? To be able to eat it, you've got to take certain actions. The people of Israel had God on their side when they entered the promised land. God has promised them that the land will always flow with milk and honey, and it did. In fact, they had every blessing one will hope for. But for God's power, but for God's purpose, and for God's provision to be manifested in their life, one needs to be trained in warfare to remove the Philistine out of the way. For God's power to come to you, certain things that is facing you that is like a mountain, certain things that is facing you that are insurmountable, you need to be able to defeat it, to be able to reach what God has given you. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we read from Judges chapter 3 verse 1 to 2 last time. In fact, we read to 1 to 4, but I'll just rehearse the first two verses for you and we come back to our message. We haven't actually touched it yet, but we're just skimming at the end of at the edges of it. It said, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. God did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of Israel who had not previously had any battle experience. So God is expecting his children to have battle experience. Can you repeat that after me? Battle experience. We must experience warfare. So our faith is not complicated, but it's not simplistic either. If you are not experiencing warfare and winning battles, you are not living your faith. Sometimes we are so simple to say, no, Christ has done it all on the cross. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And therefore, anything that you do, he's already done it, so you can just walk around. Have you ever read that say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Have you heard about that? Have you heard about the fact that, I mean, we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, and therefore, we should actually press on. Have you heard about that? That anything that will hold you back, any encumbrance, anything that is an obstacle need to be moved aside. Have you read that in Hebrews? Have you read it in Ephesians chapter 6? That we are surrounded by persons without bodies, spirit of wickedness in higher places and dark forces that can destroy you. Have you read that? God is expecting us to do some battles here. Hallelujah. So if you take your faith so simplistic, you wouldn't even know what hit you. And when it hits you, you become weak and paralyzed because you lack revelation of what your faith is about. A lot of Christians are weak for that reason. So Jesus Christ gave us authority that we have to hold on to, and that will only come as a result of winning battles. The spiritual authority that is won is that gained through the experience of war. Each time we engage in warfare against a problem or a crisis against a demon, we overcome, we gain authority in the spirit. Each time you're able to overcome a crisis in your life, each time you're able to overcome a problem in your life, each time you have a demonic manifestation in your life and you deal with it, you gain authority. Early hours of this morning, as I was preparing the message, about 2 a.m., I was just so tired, I said, I want to go to bed. And hardly have I closed my eyes, and there was this dark, huge shadow just came near me. And you know the word that came out of my mouth? I'm not afraid of you. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And always my wife gets the hang of it. I just have to kick her to wake up so that she can also pray with me. Hallelujah. Sorry if I'm kicking your knee so much. But I just want you to know that how could I say that to a dark shadow You could see it as a form of a human being, but no face, no shape, but coming at you by 2:15 a.m. in bed. How can you? Most people would scream. But the word that came out of my mouth is that I'm not afraid of you. Why is that? Because I've won battle. I've overcome crisis. I've overcome. The Bible said they overcame him by the word of their testimony and the blood of the living Jesus. And therefore, they did not even worry about their lives. So I wasn't worried that I'm going to die or I'm going to freeze or I'm going to do anything. But I said, I'm not afraid of you. And God has given you that power too, if you are ready to win battles. Because the people of Israel could have just walked onto the land and have fun and enjoy everything. But he said, I left those Philistines and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites there so that those of you who have not experienced battle before, you will experience battle because I want to train you for war. Say to somebody that God is training me for war. Hallelujah. Every crisis, every problem, every challenge, every difficulty that comes in your life, begin to say to yourself, God is training me for war, and I'm going to win this battle. And when I win that battle, I get spiritual authority that is won through warfare. And once you've won one battle, I can assure you that you win the next battle because the enemy knows that when they come, you are a winner. You are more than conquerors through Christ. You see, if you are more than a conqueror, that means you've won some battles. You've conquered before. And therefore, you will conquer again through Christ who loves you. Because no tribulation, no death, no pain, no sickness, no diseases, no problems will be able to overcome you because of the love of God. You are more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we call these things and we walk in them. We are more than a conqueror. You've never won no battle and the enemy touches you. And then you see that you are even less than a winner. God allows the enemy to challenge us so that we can learn to fight him. Through our victories, we gain authority over these demons and over these challenges. And we also gain valuable experience in warfare. You got to learn to do battle. And when we read in Judges at the time, you could see that the people were young people, youngsters with a few old ones. Youngsters. So young people, if you are 7, I just want you to know that this message is for you too. They were youngsters. And this message was told them that they had never experienced battle before. So I would say that the enemy's opposition against us, all the problems, crises, and challenges before us, is our opportunity to gain authority over him. So each time you see a problem, it's not for you to run away, but it's your opportunity to gain authority. So for instance, when you are in school and there's an examination, or this is a test time, it is not meant for you to fail. The teacher is not interested in that. The examination board is not interested in your failure, but they want you to pass. So it's an opportunity for you to pass your exams so you can move to the next level. Yes or no? Yes. If you go to school and they don't examine you, they are not helping you. So each test that you pass, you move to the next level. If you are not passing no test, then nothing is happening. You don't even get your job, or most jobs, you don't get it unless you've gone through some test or some examination or some interview. And because we are able to pass the interview, you get that job and you know you're going to get some money, isn't it? So every opportunity, every opposition, every problem, every crisis, every mountain, every challenge that is facing you is your opportunity to gain authority. But sadly, not many Christians see their faith in a very simplistic way. They say, because Christ has died, there's nothing more for us to do. Yet there are giants like the Goliaths facing them who keep defying them day and night. If you don't spend time before God to understand or have revelation of Scripture, you will find yourself paralyzed when faced with a difficult problem or a challenge. You will thus not be able to shift the atmosphere in your favor. spiritual authority is to help you to shift the atmosphere in your favor. Can you say, we shift atmosphere in our favor? And today I'm going to begin to shift atmosphere in my favor. Hallelujah. I hear many voices, so something is going to happen today. Hallelujah. Now, this war had been going on for 40 days. Nothing has been happening. I'll come to the verse. Don't leave it. Don't close it. This war has been going on for 40 days. Nothing is happening. And I'm picking it up, just to let you understand that Jesse is David's father. And David's father waited for 40 days for news about how the battle was going on between the Israelites and the Philistines, and to inquire about the welfare of his three sons. But nothing came. Imagine that, 40 days. Put it in perspective. Your children have gone to war. Or imagine your children said, I'm going on holidays to Italy. Or somewhere else. Say Jamaica, that's nice. You go, and they go. And then first day, no news. Second day, no news. 1 week, no news. 2 weeks, no news. 3 weeks, 40 days, no news. If you're a parent, what do you think was going to happen? You'll get worried, madam. Thank you. You're going to get so worried that you cannot sleep. And that was the situation of Jesse. For 40 days, he had no news whether his kids were dead or alive, whether Israel had won the battle or not. No news at all, which is quite unusual. Then Jesse at the time discerned that the battle was more spiritual than physical and needed to introduce a warrior into the battlefield. Say, a warrior.
Warrior.
So he sent David. His three sons were with Saul, who was the king of Israel. They had gone to war for 40 days, but no news. No breakthrough. For 40 days, you're facing the problem, no news. Somehow along the line, these people probably were trained for war, but they were not fighting no battle. Because each time the enemy comes, they just want to melt away. Because they haven't fought real battles before. So Jesse had to introduce his son David into the battlefield to go and sort out something. And David was a warrior. Yet a youngster. You don't have to be old to be a warrior. Youth, I just want to remind you, you don't have to be old to be a warrior. Even in your age, you are able to do many things. Samuel was around 9 years old, 10 years old, when God called him to be the prophet of Israel. Are you with me? So you don't have to be an old man, gray with a beard and falling over yourself before you're able to win battles. You can win battles whatever your age. Even if you're old, you can win battles. Because I remember Caleb when he was 85 years old. Imagine 85 years old, he came to Moses and said, you know something? God promised me 40 years ago that he's going to give me this land. And I just want you to understand that my strength is as strong as it was when I was 40 years old. So today, I ask you, give me this hill country so that I can take it over. 85-year-old came to Moses and said, give me this hill country. I'm going to take it over. So even old people can win battles. Because God had promised him that I'm going to give you this land. He was 40 years old. He was 85 years old. That means 45 he was then when he had it. 85 years old. And he said, I haven't seen my breakthrough. Now I am ready because I'm ready to be a warrior. I'm ready to do war. So give me this hill country. So that I can take it over. Hallelujah. How long will you sit down? 40 days or 40 years? To face the same problem, not inherit the promises of God in your life. For some of you, you've had many prophecies. For some of you, God has spoken certain things. For some of you, you've read the Bible and you heard certain things. For some of you, people have blessed you. For some of you, when you were kids, your parents were just, literally prophesying goodness over your life. But then you can't see it right now. How long will you wait for that to happen to you? God, give us this hill country so that we can possess it. Hallelujah. Amen. So for 40 days, the Philistine came forth every morning and every evening and took his stand. Now, Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain, these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. I'm reading from verse 16 to 19. And see how your brothers are doing and bring me some assurance, a pledge from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistine. Jesse then introduced his younger son into the battlefield because he needed a true warrior. So when we are going to get into battle, when we are being faced with something and we have to tackle it, we have to face it head on because God wants a true warrior in the battlefield to defeat the Philistines that are staring you. David ran not to the asket of the problem, but to the very center of the issue at hand. Sometimes some of us, when there's an issue at hand, we just skirt around it. You see, we don't want to deal with it. And we go, Irene, pray for me. Alice, pray for me. Brahma, pray for me. You know what? We're not ready to be warriors. Are you with me? If you are pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, you are not ready for warriors. That means you're looking for somebody to solve your problems for you. You're looking for solutions from other people, but the solution is in your hand. You have the solution. And the solution is that you've got to be a true warrior. Enter the battlefield, get right in the middle of it, because you have an assignment from your Father in heaven that we have to get in there, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm talking about. But 10, verse 4 and 5. But mighty true God, through the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought and imagination captive to obey Christ. Because our obedience is full. Because we are obeying the word of God. And therefore we are able to bring every stronghold, every problem, every crisis, every imagination, every mountain. We are able to bring it to obey Christ. Because we are in the middle of the battle. Hallelujah. God wants us to do that. God wants us to do that. And as David was talking with the army of Saul, Goliath, the Philistine, the champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. He shouted his usual defiance. And some of you, there are some usual things. You wake up and the same problem. That is usual. Usual means something that you are accustomed to. Something that you face. Something that faces you. It becomes usual. You become familiar. Some have even become familiar spirit because they live in the family. And therefore, somebody dies who has that spirit. And then somebody who is close to that person gets that spirit. Because that spirit doesn't want to go nowhere. He has nowhere to go. It's so familiar in that family that there's a pattern of some sicknesses in the family that repeat itself. There's a pattern of some behavior in the family that repeat itself. There's a pattern of some way of death in a family that repeat itself. I came from a family that when you reach the age of 60, you got to look for your dead bed. Because they die silly dead. They die unnecessarily. You climb in a step, somehow you just fall back and you're dead. Why? You just wake up with a headache and then you rush you to hospital and you die. Why? You just walking and somehow you just fall. There's that pattern. And I'm thinking, you know what? This is not right. That is a familiar spirit. God needs to introduce a warrior into that place. And I sucked the face of God. I said, God, I'm ready to be a warrior. I'm ready to be that David. Send me to the battlefield so that I can change that situation. And now I have my siblings. They are in their 70s, some are in their 80s. And they're not dead. Because my own parents died when they reached 50. 65 is a threshold for everyone. You're just dead for no reason. And that's absolute truth. So I have no father, I'm an orphan, right? But I thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, they just die like that. And I'm just saying this to bring to your attention that there's something that sometimes becomes familiar. He's what shouting is usual. And how long will you sit down for a certain problem to be usual for you? One day, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 30 days, 40 days, 40 years? You got to do something about it. When Goliath appeared and shouted his threat again, David heard him. Unless you are at the heart of the battlefield, you won't hear the Goliath and the giant and what he's saying. And what the issues are facing the giant. For facing the giant is your test. Winning the battle is your spiritual authority. In your hand right there. Facing the problem is your test. Facing the challenge in your life is your test. Your challenge can be unemployment. It can be business not taking off. It can be some role that is not coming to you. It can be some money that you are not breaking through about. It can be some sickness that you cannot get free from. It can be some challenge that you need, some justice that is not coming. That is your test. Winning that battle is your spiritual authority. So look at that test as an opportunity for you to win that battle, to exercise spiritual authority, because there's a spiritual authority that only comes to those who win battles. Not everybody will, but those who are willing will exercise that spiritual authority. It's a very powerful authority. You take authority over every situation, and every mountain becomes a very simple thing. And your God becomes limitless. Your God becomes boundless. And your God, you look at him and say, every impossibility has become possible with your God, because he's an amazing and wonderful God. Hallelujah. David asked the same question over and over again, and the rewards were not the motivation for him. What he said, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 27, please. They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. Verse 28. Then Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the man. He burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now, what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the man answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Now, you can see in these few verses that David was asking some questions. What will be done for the man who actually get rid of this uncircumcised Philistine? He was not talking about physical circumcision, but he was trying to say, look, we are the circumcision, meaning we are the people of God. We are the people that God has his blood on us. We are the people that Jesus Christ has shed his precious blood on. We are special. We're supposed to be victorious. And yet somebody who has not known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, someone who does not understand the power and the purpose and the provision of God, how can he come and stand in front of us and deride us and to disgrace us and to humiliate us and to bring reproach to the name of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the living God? So the issue facing you, you got to be spiritually violent here. And just tell them, who is this uncircumcised Philistine, who are you that you should defy me, a child of the army of God, a child of God, washed by his blood, I mean, filled with the Holy Spirit. Who are you to stand in front of me? I'm not afraid of you. You got to move. In Jesus' name. You got to move. In Jesus' name. As David was talking with them, the Philistine, the champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. David's eldest brother, Eliab, you can move back a step or two. Say verse 28 there. David's eldest brother, Eliab, criticized and belittled him for being at the battlefield and speaking so boldly. Because David, as he turned around and said, what will be done to this man? He was looking for not the reward, but he was looking for something to motivate him to do something. They said, you have many riches. You wouldn't even pay any tax. You wouldn't even be married to royalty. A whole lot of things were promised him. That was not his issue. His main issue is some motivation. He needed the word of God. He needed some words of prophecy in his ears. He needed to know what the real issue is so that he can tackle it. He needed somebody to tell him that this is your reward. Somebody needs to remind you that somehow along the line, you are more than conquerors. And if you conquer that issue facing you, you have spiritual authority to deal with the future issues that come. And you are going to release people from prison. You are going to release people from poverty. You are going to release people from joblessness. You are going to release people from sicknesses. You're going to release people from demonic activities. That is the reason why David was so angry and was so upset and wanted to know what will be done for that person. Are you with me so far? Begin to see the big picture. David saw the big picture of what will be done for the man. Begin to see the big picture that when the problem is overcome, what the outcome is going to be. You need to see that so that you'll be motivated by it and you do something about this. But the brothers criticize him. You see, they criticize him not because David was a youth. Rather, Eliab attacked or projected onto his younger brother to deflect from his own inactivity. Remember, 40 days he's been on the field and he did absolutely nothing. He was angry with his brother because of his weakness, because of his cowardice, because of his shame and his fear of the giant. So the problem that he faced was the issue. So the issue was not the issue. You get it? David being on the battlefield was not the issue. Of course, if you're afraid, you need somebody to come alongside you. More is better. Because he was the eldest brother of 8 brothers at the time. And he, with the other 2, were quoted in the battlefield, but they were inactive. Any time that they hear the voice of Goliath, they just melted away. Anytime he saw the problem, he said, oh God, that's my problem. The same problem again. Oh, I'm so sick. I'm so tired. I'm so this. I'm so that. I'm so poor. That's all that they were doing on the battlefield. They couldn't see no big picture. So when somebody came to the battlefield and said, you know what? This situation will turn. I am ready. I may be young, but I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm going to turn the situation around. They felt so ashamed. They felt so threatened, and therefore they turned on David. Who did you leave these few sheep? How did you know the sheep were few? The same sheep that has fed them all this while, and they know Jesse wasn't poor. Poor people don't have little money, they have a lot. I'm sorry, rich people don't have little money, they have a lot, isn't it? So suddenly, their wealth has become few. Suddenly, the good things that they have has changed. Because when you are in a meltdown about a problem, you don't see even what blessings God has for you. You only see problems. Problems. And when somebody tries to help you out, the person gets the blame. Has it happened to you before? Only just me, right? Thank you. The issue is not an issue. So when somebody begins to attack you, and you know you are on the side of God, don't be too worried. Have compassion, because they have a problem that they have to deal with, and they are not dealing with it. And they are attacking you for that. So have compassion, my brother, my sister. Have compassion. Don't let anyone cut you to size. When you have an issue at hand to deal with, you'll be criticized, belittled, rejected by those close to you. Some will discourage you or even will walk away from you. Others would rather you don't speak. But remember, there is a cause. Remember, there is a cause. You see, in the New King James Version, where are we now? When he said, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Move on to the next one, verse 29. David said, now what have I done? Can't I even speak? Sometimes the enemy doesn't even want you to speak. Sometimes atmosphere doesn't want you to even open your mouth. The New King James Version says that, but is there not a cause? You see, I mean, International Version is great because the people who had brains, but sometimes the Bible should not be looked at with brains, but should look at with revelation. Is there not a cause? Yes, can't I speak? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason why I am here? That's what David was saying. Not so much that he can't speak. He said, there's a reason that I'm here on the battlefield. There is a cause. There's got to be a reason why you have to wake up and defeat the enemy, to defeat the giant. There's a reason why the problem facing you, you've got to conquer it. There's a reason why you cannot be a loser, but to be a winner. There's a reason why you have to be more than a conqueror and not a weakling. Amen. There is a reason. Amen. The reason being, God has set some people free. The reason being, you have to get out of poverty. The reason is you have to get that job that some uncircumcised Philistine are getting before you. There's a reason. And the reason that your business needs to survive and your business needs to prosper. Why can't you prosper if the unbelievers are prospering? Why not you? And you are a child of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. If unbelievers have their marriage going on properly, why can't you, a believer, have your marriage working for you? If your children are going well and unbelievers' children are going the right way, why can't your children go the right way? Because God has blessed and blessed your children. Somehow along the line, you've got to take authority and change the atmosphere. Amen. Say, change the atmosphere. You got to change the atmosphere, my brother, my sister. You got to change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to have that determination to want to fight the giants and win the battle, which is the lives of people and the souls of men. David kept asking the same question over and over again, not for the reward, but for the victory. David gained spiritual authority through battles. And the last verses, I'm pulling together verse 32 to right to 37. If you can turn to it. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. And he has been a fighting man from his youth. He has been a fighting man from his youth, but then he is a boy and he cannot be a fighting man, right? In his youth, he was a fighting man, and David cannot be. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. Imagine that scenario. I went after it, struck it, and rescued a sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Do you see what the guy did? Now he was bundling both the bear and the lion together. And said, look, I've killed it. That means, as far as he's concerned, the same problem. He doesn't see any different. The same problem. I killed a lion. I killed a bear. They came and take what is rightfully mine. They came and take their wealth, their livelihood, their money, the things that make them who they were in society. The enemy came to take it. The name that you've got in your society, that you came from a good home, the enemy wants to take it and replace it with something else, with drugs, with alcohol, with all sorts of things. The enemy wants to destroy it. And he said, now I went after it. Why? That means he was a warrior. He went after it. He didn't sit and say, oh, yeah, he's gone. Who's going to rescue my cow for me or my cattle for me? He said, I went after it. And when I went after it, and when it turned on me, because when you go after the enemy, he do not just look at you. I was just telling you that the enemy just came this morning, just to come, and I said, I'm not afraid of you. It will come after you. But when it come after you, you know why? Because you've won battles before. He said, and I held it. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. As you read the rest of the chapter, you will know that David took on Goliath and won the battle for Israel while King Saul looked on. David saw the bigness of his God more than the giant facing him. Can you see the bigness of your God more than the problem facing you? Can you? You see, sometimes we just lose hope and we let the enemy carry our sheep away. Just like that. You go for a job interview and they give it to somebody, you don't get it. Ask for a feedback. Don't just take it that you've lost the battle. Ask for a feedback. And when you ask for a feedback as a manager, when somebody asks for a feedback, I say, this is somebody who is not going to sit down lying down. I see a giant in that person. And sometimes, somehow along the line, we keep the person's information on file. And when another job comes, sometimes we just drop you a note. This is a role coming up. Will you be interested? Hello? Because I have 27 years of management experience, so I'm telling you exactly what happens. There's a job coming up. Will you be interested? And many times people have got jobs through that because they never sat down and lied on their back and go and suck their tongue because they didn't get a job. Another way to do it is that if you don't get a job, go back to the drawing board. After your feedback, say, next time I'm going to get it. Apply for another job. And when it comes, be more prepared. Be praying. And said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who should get a job over me? I am a child of the living God, and I'm going to get it. I'm bringing this to an end. David saw the bigness of his God more than his giant. David also had a real job as a shepherd, as a king of Israel. For that reason, when he ascended to the throne of Israel, he wrote in Psalm 144, verse 1, it says, it, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle. Are you hearing that? You see, you read the Psalms, and how does it sound to you? The man said, blessed be the Lord my God. In some translations, it says, praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle. David indeed had spiritual authority that was won through battles, having spent time with God all his life. God is training our hands for battle. Are we ready to do battle? Let me give you one more verse and then you'll be happy with that. Apostle Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31 to 32, what happened? Okay? Let's put it to spirits. Let's put it to persons without bodies. Apostle Paul also wrote that I face death every day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31 to 32, I face death every day. And for the sake of others, I have fought wild beasts in Ephesus. Wild beasts in Ephesus. Ephesus was a big church in a big town, but there were serious problems there. It says, for the sake of others, I face death every day. And I fought wild beasts. When we gain authority in the spirit, we become part of the most wanted list. and begin to represent a very clear and present danger against hell and its enemy. In summary, I would say this. God has left those challenges, problems, and issues to test you to obey him so you can win battles. Be spiritually violent and fight with beasts to win the battle so that you can exercise authority over those situations. You can take a reference from Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. From the time of John the Baptist until now, Jesus said this, that the kingdom of God suffers violence and violent people take it by force. God is looking for warriors. Are you one of them? Unless you fight and win some battles, the enemy will make sure the issues facing you will paralyze you till you give up. Hey, this concludes our teaching on taking spiritual authority. We've talked about three levels of authority that God has delegated to every believer. The delegated authority as a result of your obedience. When you obey Christ and you obey the authority over you, God releases spiritual authority to you. The authority of the resurrected Christ. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and received so much authority and power, if you put your faith in him and believe in him, he will give you that authority. And finally, what we talk about today, the authority that is won. This authority is acquired through warfare experience. So today we're going to respond. Shall we stand right now? Hallelujah, Lord.